Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to continue today in our series that's entitled, We Are. And we're looking at who we are as a family and why we are and where we're going. We started last week by looking at our foundation for literally everything that we have, everything that we are or ever will be, and that's Jesus Christ. We are because of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 11, everything comes from God, and all things were made because of Him. All things will return to Him. So we are because of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. There's nothing that we can do without Him. Even our very next breath is because of Jesus Christ. So we are because of Christ. Today I want to look at we are family. We are family. And our big thought today that I want to kind of base everything on is simple. It's this: let's get along. Let's all just get along. Amen. When we were kids, there were still two of my sisters home. There's six of us all together. Even though I'm holding up seven fingers, there's six of us all together. And and there's two girls and a boy. And the boy was me. Sonia, of course, and Denise were my sisters. And so, and they still are, actually. And so, so back in the day, I mean, this is a long time ago, we had decided that we would take all of our money that would be spent on Christmas and we'd come to Florida for our Christmas present. And of course, at that time, we were living in Maine, and so it was about 1,500 miles from here. So it would be a 2 or 3 day trip, depending on your commitment to sanity. You know what I'm talking about if you've ever traveled. And I remember, even though it was over 40 years ago, can you believe that, Mom? Over 40 years ago, we as a family took our first trip here to Florida. And a lot of what I'll call interaction happened on that trip between me and my sisters. I mean, it was inevitable in the backseat of that Chrysler that someone would actually touch someone else, that someone would breathe on somebody, that somebody would say something about somebody, and that's all it took to start this interaction. Mom and Dad decided to establish some boundaries for our trip, because regardless of our attitude, we're going to Florida. We're going to get there, and so whether you like it or not, that's what's going to happen. And so let's get along. Let's enjoy the trip. Let's make it an enjoyable trip. And so they placed these boundaries so that that would happen. And that's exactly what happened. And we had a great trip. Though it was a long haul, we had a wonderful time. And we made it home safely. You know, as a child of God, there again, we are a family as well. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have all been made the members of God's family. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says it like this, verse 25, the second portion of that, it says, we are all members. There again, these are the believers of Jesus Christ, those who are in the family. We're members of one body. We're family. And so because of Jesus Christ, we've become members of this wonderful family of God. And we too are on a journey. Every day, our journey takes us closer to our destination, which is what? Heaven. Amen. Could you imagine if we was going anywhere else? It wouldn't be worth the trip. My mind cannot comprehend the glory that awaits us. When we get there, it'll be wonderful and we'll think, wow, every heartache, every tear, every trial, it was worth it just to be able to make it to heaven. And so we're on a journey as a family, and some days it seems long. The truth of the matter is, one day we're going to make it to heaven. So why don't we do whatever we can to make it worth the trip? Let's just get along. Now there again, don't take me wrong. I don't want you to think that we're just a bunch of crybabies fighting all the time and bickering and chewing at each other. I'm grateful that we're not, because I'd find another church. How about you? Yeah. who'd want to stick around in something like that, right? So I'm grateful that we're not. But here's the deal. The reality of our situation in life is that the earth, the world, the society that we live in, it seems as though they're getting more and more easily offended. People are easily provoked. If you don't believe me, on your way to lunch today, just sit at that light after it turns green for 2 seconds. And see how easily provoked society is and how close we are living on the edge. And so what I would like for us to do as a family is to protect ourselves against the spirit of the age that we live in. And so let's look at starting with verse 26. There again, I'm in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. He starts out with something pretty interesting. He says, be angry. Now, if we stop there, we all got that down pat pretty good. Nobody's going to admit to nothing on that. That's okay. But sometimes it's real easy to be angry. But here's what the problem is he didn't stop there. Though he started there, he didn't stop there. He says this. He says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath or give place to the devil. So what I take from that is, yes, I can be angry. I don't know if that's good or not, but it's the truth. We can be angry. Here's the deal. That's the easy part. It's just that we're not supposed to sin in our anger. So we can be angry, but let's just not sin while we're doing it. Well, how in the world do you do that? That's a great question that we're going to talk about today. You can actually steward your anger in such a way that pleases God. And so we're going to look at three questions today concerning anger. What is anger? When does anger become sin? And how do I deal with anger? Okay? So what is anger? First of all, anger is a legitimate emotion. Back in Genesis, I don't know if you remember or not, but back in Genesis, the Bible talks about the story of creation and tells us how the Lord created everything and the time frame and so on. And so in Genesis 1 and 26, the Bible says that God said this, let us make man in our image. And that's exactly what he did. He made you and I in his image. Did you know that God has emotions as well? And did you know that sometimes when God dealt with man, he got angry? I think that probably most of us could relate. If you've ever dealt with somebody, you can relate to getting angry. Sometimes in dealing with people, God got angry. Jesus, when he was on the earth, the Bible talks about different times when he would get angry as well. And here's the thing about it is while both of them experienced anger, they did so without sinning. And so anger is a legitimate emotion that's been given to us by God. But here's the deal. Number two, sin corrupted anger. Anger gets a bad rap because it was corrupted by sin to the point to where it creates division and it creates bitterness. And rage even sometimes. Did you know that anger, if left unchecked, creates emotional and physical sickness in the body? Actual physical sickness. James 1:20 said this, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Because sin corrupted anger, it produces unrighteousness. So why did God give us this emotion called anger? Well, I believe that it was number three, it was to provoke us to do good works. Now, I know that that may sound counterproductive, but if you look at the times in Scripture and the examples when Jesus got angry, it was because of the effects of sin in the earth. It was because of doubt and unbelief and disobedience and injustice. And so I think it would help us to maybe look at it this way, instead of calling it anger, because there again, anger gets a bad rap and rightfully so. I think if we looked at it as more of a righteous indignation, it would help us to understand where we're headed with the message today. When God looks down and he sees the effects of sin, when Jesus was in the earth and he saw that, it affected him. It created this anger or this righteous indignation that rose up inside of them, just like it does you and I when we see a child abused. Or we see some sort of injustice, someone getting, I was looking at watching the news, And they were coming on back on again about how people, you need to be careful with hurricane damage because of scammers that will come in and tell you they're from the insurance company. And there's one elderly woman that was taken. Everything that she had was taken from her because of a scammer. What little bit she had left, she's standing in front of her place that is in total disarray and in a pile of heaps, and somebody took the last few $1,000s that she had. That angers me. Why? It's because of the injustice. It's not right. And so this righteous indignation will, if you will, comes up inside of us. And what happens? It stiffens our resolve to stand against evil and to do good. Does that make sense? And so I believe that part of why we have this emotion is to help us to stand up against sin in the earth. So we can be angry and not sin in our anger, which brings us to question number two. When does anger become sin? Number one, anger becomes sin when we attack the person, not the problem. In the heat of the moment, we may feel like the person is the problem. But check out what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 4. The weapons of our warfare, there again, we're a family. We're in the family of God. So the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And it brings into captivity every thought that is disobedient against Christ. What is he saying here? He says that if we want to win the real battle, then we've got to use the right weapons against the right enemy. And the reality is that even though that person offended you or that situation didn't go right and angered you, there's always going to be something that's deeper that must be dealt with to bring the resolution to the issue that's at hand. But too often, what do? We shoot the easiest target, which is the person in front of us. And so what happens? We engage in carnal warfare using carnal weapons. What happens? It results in families not speaking to each other for years. Husbands and wives divorcing. Churches splitting. Ministries crumbling. Communities in disarray, on the brink of rage, because we're dealing with things the wrong way. But Pastor, you just don't understand what they did to me. You just don't get what they said to me. It was awful. You know, the reality is that I may not understand what happened in your particular situation. But I think that if we would be honest with each other and if we would examine those arguments that we've been in, I think that we would have to admit that when we attack the person, that we're not addressing the problem. And when it's all said and done, the problem still exists. So anger becomes sin when we attack the person, not the problem. Secondly, anger becomes sin when we hurt that person. Now, I realize that there's times when someone needs to be confronted with truth. And how many know that sometimes truth hurts? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those times when there's an outright assault on a person that cuts to the soul and does spiritual, emotional damage to someone. Look at this, Proverbs 18 and 14 says, "A crushed spirit, who can bear?" And then verse 19, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city." Why is that? It's because of this damage that's being done that we call hurt. You know, when we hurt someone because we're attacking them out of anger, barriers are created that separate us, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. And the sad reality is this, is that sometimes those barriers that we create will never be overcome. You may be experiencing that now. Something that was said, something that was done, we can't get past it. That person that was offended or hurt, they can't get past it. And so we'll never be able to make up that ground because of the damage that was done. That's the sad reality of it. But the Bible says this, look at this, Proverbs 6 and 19, that the Lord hates a person who sows discord in a family. Now, I know hate is a strong word, and we don't like to use that today. And yet the Bible says that God hates a person that sows discord in a family. But here's the reality is when you're attacking someone or when someone is being hurt in the family, it hurts the family very deeply. And God cannot stand for that because we're His children. That's when anger becomes sin, is when we hurt people. Thirdly, anger becomes sin when we try to get even. If we're not careful, anger towards someone can take us into this vengeance mentality. And before you know it, you start thinking things like, you know what, they really need to pay for what they've done. And then guess what happens? You start scheming of how you're going to get even. You see, the only problem with that is that when we move towards retribution, we open ourselves up to sin. We allow the devil a foothold into our lives. And what is a foothold? A foothold is something that, like, pretend that you're trying to close a door and somebody's got their foot in it. And you, no matter what you do, you can't close the door. What happens is they have access. And you don't want to give the devil access into your life. Because what did Jesus tell us? He only knocks on the door to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There's no other reason. So you don't play with the devil. You don't converse with the devil. You don't go out on Saturday night with the devil. You just tell him, you get away from me in Jesus' name. And you resist him. And he flees. He leaves. Right? And so we start thinking, well, how in the world can I get him back? Well, you want to be careful because you open yourself up to sin. Look at this. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:30, vengeance is mine and I will repay, says the Lord. Now, the reason that vengeance is the Lord's is because we're not equipped to handle vengeance righteously. Only God is. Isaiah 34:8 gives us insight into this, where he says this, the Lord has a day of vengeance and a year of retribution, and here's why, to uphold Zion's cause. In other words, God's plan for vengeance is to mete out justice and to establish His will in the earth, which is what? Is peace and joy. To establish His kingdom where there's righteousness in the earth. That's God's plan. Because sin has corrupted anger, our plan for vengeance is driven by this desire to get even, not to restore righteousness in our relationship with that person. And when we do that, anger turns into sin. So how do we deal with anger? I mean, we know how the world deals with anger, but how do we deal with anger as a family? Here in Ephesians, he gives us six things that will help us on our journey to get along. Look at this, verse 26. He says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. So how do we deal with anger? First of all, we, as a family, we commit to resolve. If you're having trouble in your family right now with anger, if there's separation, whether this family or your family, if you go down through these steps, you'll find you'll come onto the road of healing. I guarantee it. It's the Word of God and it works. It works. It's alive. It's powerful. And it will work in your situation. But you don't know my situation. I don't have to know your situation. I know God, and I know that He is more than able to take care of every situation that you may be facing, even right now. So the first thing, how do we deal with anger? We deal with anger. We commit to resolve. How many would be honest to say that there's times when your anger has lasted more than one day? How about maybe more than 2 days? All right, I'm going to stay there. I'm not going to go any further than that. Yeah. You see, one of the problems with doing that is that when you go to bed angry, you invite your imagination to join the conversation. And that's never good. I'm talking, that's never good. Because what happens is you leave everything that's been said or done to filter through your own perception. Our perception is always limited. When that happens, more times than not, it results in an over-exaggerated conflict. And all that does is escalates anger. It creates arguments that sometimes never end for literally years. You see, if we're going to get along on this journey to heaven, we as a family have got to commit to resolve. In other words, it doesn't matter if the issue can't be resolved today. But we are going to commit to work this thing out no matter how long it takes. So even if it can't be fixed by the time you lay your head on your pillow at night, you have committed to resolve the issue. And during that process, We're not going to allow anger to fester in our souls day after day and give place for the enemy to sow seeds of discord and bitterness and strife. And we're not going to allow our imagination to create scenarios that just don't exist. You see, because we're family, we make the resolution bigger than the argument. When we do that, that shuts the door to the enemy. It casts down imaginations that are contrary to God's will for our family. So we don't go to bed with unresolved anger. We address it head on by committing to resolve. Verse 28, he who has been stealing must steal no more, but work and do something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those who are in need. Now, what has that got to do with anger? Well, the principle that he's talking about here is summed up in the last part of the verse, verse 28, that you may have something to share with those in need. The idea is to give and not just to take. It's to be able to impart something of value to someone's need. That's the point of the scripture. So in the context of getting along and dealing with anger, nothing will de-escalate anger like wanting to be a blessing to that person. Because if we're honest with each other, that's the last thing I want to do in the moment that I'm angry with somebody is to bless them. I want to lay hands on them. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So because we're family, we commit to bless. Now, this isn't for the faint of heart. This is some big stuff, but we're not just anybody. We're part of God's family. And that's what family does, is we commit to bless. Now, I'm not talking about being taken advantage of during times of conflict, because that can happen, especially in the case when somebody's always giving and somebody is always taking. No, that's out of balance, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm simply saying that as a family, that if each one would fully commit to bless each other, then in times of conflict, empathy and compassion will be the emotions that rise first, not anger, not rage. When that happens, guess what? Our perspective changes from retaliation to blessing. So instead of thinking, well, how in the world can I get them back? We're thinking, what do I have of value that I can bring to this situation, calm things down, and bless my family? See, what I'm simply talking about is giving each other grace for our humanity. Patience instead of pressure. Encouragement instead of criticism. Love instead of hate. Let us be the family that gives life. This is deep stuff, ain't it? Dad used to call this stuff meat, something to chew on. I'll chew on this all week. Yeah. Look at verse 29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful to build others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So as a family, we talk solutions. Question, when you get angry, is your conversation helpful and beneficial to those who are listening? You see, most of the time when we're angry, our conversation usually isn't helpful because many times our focus is on me, not us. So we spend 99% of our time focused on why we're angry and not focusing on what's best for us, for family. Yeah. You see, that approach is trigger-based, not solution-based. And here's the deal. We all have things that trigger our anger, but our anger is never trigger deep. You got to remember this. Whether we're right or whether we're wrong, doesn't matter what side of it we're on, our anger is never trigger deep. There's always going to be a deeper issue that needs to be dealt with. And so if you're only going trigger deep all the time, you're never going to get to the solution. So the fix is only temporary. That's why posting your anger on social media doesn't solve the problem. That's why devouring each other on a constant basis and bickering and arguing and separating, that's why that never fixes the problem. What we've got to do is we got to go deeper than that to find the solution. And here's where we start. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So what is a gentle answer? How about this? I'm sorry. What can I do to help? Not a matter of being right or wrong. It's a matter of getting along as a family. We're so busy trying to win the argument, we lose the relationship. It's time we grow up and face the bigger issue, which is we're going to heaven, and we need to make this trip as profitable as possible because we're only here not even a second compared to eternity. And so is it worth it being separated from the ones we love the most and not working together? And so, I'm sorry, what can I do to help? You see, this simple approach starts a conversation that takes the focus off of me and places it onto us and onto a solution that will bring real healing to the situation. You might be thinking, well, that's not easy to do, Pastor. I would agree with you. You are 100% right. But there again, we're not just anybody. We're part of the family of God. We're held to a higher standard. You may not like to hear this, but it's the truth. We're held to a higher standard, and rightfully so. All right, let's look at verse 30. The Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We're a family, so we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. That's how we do it. You see, if you remember, Paul is writing to the church here in Ephesians to give us instruction on how we're to live for God and how we're to please Him, both inside the church and outside of the church. And here he's telling us that the Holy Spirit has been sent to us to help us to do that. The Holy Spirit helps us to live a life consecrated to God, a holy life, a life that's separated from the world. But He also leads us into unity as a family, in the bond of love. And so when we resist His leading into holiness, into healthy relationships, into those things like that, the Bible says that He is grieved, meaning that it literally causes Him pain, distress. It saddens Him when we're fighting with each other and when we're angry with each other. And unfortunately, what happens is this creates distance between the Holy Spirit and us in that area. And it's not because He doesn't want to help us, because He always does and always will. But it's because our rebellion in that area and consistently pushing Him away creates rocky and hard soil in that portion of our heart that will not receive the Word of God. You wonder why some people just don't get it? It's very possible that it's because they push that truth so far away that in that portion of their heart, it's hard, and so they can't receive the Word of God. It has to be broken up so that it can be sown into again, and it can be fruitful in that area of their lives. Paul says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but cooperate with Him. Cooperate with Him, and here's why. Because the Holy Spirit will always lead us to life and to health, both spirit, soul, and body. So as a family, we cooperate with Him. Amen. Look at verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So because we're family, we discipline our emotions. There again, I realize at times that this can be an incredible task. But we gotta remember, folks, and we're not just anybody. We're children of God Himself. And we're a family. And we have the Holy Spirit inside of us that can help us do anything. I know sometimes we're just used to flying off the handle, but we can get a grip on that handle in Christ. Galatians 5 and 22, look at this. The fruit of the Spirit, or in other words, the evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit inside of us, is love, it's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the evidence of God working in us through the Holy Spirit produces these things inside of us, which is the exact opposite of the works of the flesh, which is bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander and malice, all of those things. It's the exact opposite of this. Hallelujah. Look at verse 24. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. How did that happen? Jesus Christ defeated all of that on the cross and has given us victory in it if we'll but walk it out in Jesus' name. If we'll allow the Holy Spirit to produce inside of us love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and so on. And yes, even self-control, so that as a family, we can really discipline our emotions and we can get along on this here journey to heaven. Finally, today in verse 32, There again, in our text, Ephesians 4 and 32, the Bible says this, be kind and compassionate to one another. And here it is, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. So as a family, we forgive. A lot of people live with a lot of unforgiveness today. And it's a sign of the times that we're living in. Jesus told us that in these days that we're living in, that there's going to be people that are going to be lovers of themselves. They're going to be unthankful. They're going to be greedy and all these things. But also it says they're going to be unforgiving, holding on to things. And we've come to a place to where now I believe that it's coming to a crescendo because it's soon. Jesus is soon to return. Do you know he could come back before the altar call today? I mean, are we living that way? If so, then we'll forgive as a family. Because as a family, we have been rescued from the spirit of the age and from having to carry the weight of rage against somebody and the weight of unforgiveness of somebody. We don't have to carry that anymore. You were not created or equipped to carry unforgiveness. And so, as a family, we forgive. I realize there again that life can be hard at times and we get hurt and we get angry. And that's all part of the journey. I get that. But I've found that more often than not, those disagreements and those offenses and the anger happen most of the time because of simple misunderstandings. I get mad at Jill because of something that she said, and she meant it this way, but I perceived it this way. And when I'm left to my own perception in that type of a thing, then I give place for unforgiveness in my heart. And I find myself getting weighed down even more and more and more. And everything starts to, it's like sunglasses. Everything I look at is a different shade. But when we stop and we talk, oh, I didn't mean it that way, honey. Oh, what a schmuck I am. I did it again. But then there's times when people actually have malice towards us and they purposely try to hurt us. What about that, Pastor? Still got to forgive. Listen to me. It's vital to forgive because forgiveness is the medicine that'll heal your soul. Without it, it'll continue to fester and it'll spoil your life. And so even in those times when malice was intended, we need to forgive. Because when we do, there's healing that begins to happen. And then we can let go and we can press on in our journey.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.